The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band, and we're on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
And I'm DD Cup.
Sweet DD Cup.
I'm G Cup. GG Cup.
GG Cup. There you go. We finally got one for you.
He thinks he's a horse.
Welcome to today's show. What have we got happening today? Young Jeffrey, what have you been up to during the week, first of all?
That's a great question. What have I been up to? You know, I was saying off air, actually, it's kind of interesting. I was at a Penn event this week. I know that we go to normally technology-related events, but this time it was about pens.
Pens are technology.
Well, a form of former technology, I would have thought, but apparently pens are still all the rage. Everyone still gets very excited about pens, and it was amazing to see handwriting that was still good. My handwriting's turned...
No smart ones?
This was not a smart pen whatsoever.
It was
none of them. No, they were just typically pens, and people were doing calligraphy to test them.
And nice. Yeah. When you see some really nice handwriting...
It was pretty impressive.
It is very impressive. Yep. Unfortunately, in Australia, back in the late 50s, early 60s, they destroyed handwriting in this country.
How come?
And they introduced this thing called modified cursive.
Don't know.
So we all learned this silly way of writing.
Yeah, you learned it at school as well.
I had to get a pen license at school.
A what?
Yeah, we had to get pen licenses when I was in primary school. You weren't allowed to move to pen until the teacher approved your handwriting to be good enough.
With a pencil?
Yeah, it had to be good enough with a pencil before you were... And I actually lost it for a period because my handwriting went backwards. They stripped me of my pen license for, I think it was a day. Oh, devastated.
Well, we've got other licenses that we can strip you of later on in the show, Jeff.
That could be my... I don't know what that is, but yes.
Oh, we'll come to it during the news. Trust me on this.
Okay.
Motorola released their new Moto X this week.
Oh, did you go?
I went to that.
How was it?
I was quite impressed with what I saw. I'll tell you more about it during the news.
Good.
And it was very impressive. Dee, what have you been up to?
Oh, I've been back at work taking my seniors around the place. Nothing... with tech. Oh, next year we're going to have some tech, actually. But so, I'll wait till we do that next year.
They probably all know about the old pens that I was playing with.
Oh, they'd know very well. And they still have the lovely handwriting, actually.
These old Watermans and Fountains and Pilots or something. It's amazing.
Pilot pens, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Well, let's get the show on the road. And as you know, there are a couple of interesting pieces of news towards the end of this week. And the first bit of general news that was very sad was the passing, of course, of the King of Thailand.
Well, yeah, it's
is this a song?
Very, very sad.
Is this a musician? What are we talking about?
I'm talking about the regent.
Oh, the actual King of Thailand.
The actual King of Thailand.
I thought this was an artist's name. I really thought you were going to be saying, like, King of Thailand.
He is an artist. He was an artist. He was a jazz musician and a jazz composer.
Had no idea.
And he wrote a number of pieces of music and quite an accomplished musician as well. But this is somebody called Classic doing a piece composed by the King of Thailand, and it's called the HM, which I presume stands for His Majesty's Blues.
Thank you. Hi, this is Missy Higgins for RAD, recording artists, actors and athletes against drink driving. I see a lot of things at gigs, mostly people having a good time and a few drinks. But what I'd hate to see is someone getting behind the wheel after they'd been drinking. Being even a little bit over the limit makes it too easy to lose control. So if you plan to drink, plan ahead. Arrange a designated driver who won't drink.
RAD. RAD.org.au.
Hi, I'm Andrew. And like me, you can start your mornings the best way possible with the 2RDJ Breakfast Crew. As I say, breakfast on 2RDJ, the most important meal of the day for your ears.
Back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
We are indeed, and it is time now for the news. And I might start it off with what I alluded to just a moment ago with the Moto X
launch. Yeah, tell me about this.
They showed us two different versions of the phone, the Moto X and the Moto X Play.
Okay.
Moto X, $1,000.
What?
$1,000.
So it's their premium.
It's their premium one.
Okay.
Their premium phone.
All right.
And what it's got, you remember 4 months ago, five months ago, LG came out with the different modules that you put on the back.
Yeah, X5, I think it was.
Yeah. And Motorola are now doing something similar.
Mm-hmm.
But the implementation, the execution of how they've done it is beautifully elegant.
What sort of modules are they adding to it?
Okay, they've got, you expect extra battery packs. So cool. They've got that. Good. That's fairly standard.
One of the most important ones?
Yep.
Yep.
They've got JBL speakers that you can add to it.
Mm.
A little stereo speaker that fits on the back.
Yep.
And each of these units fits very neatly on the whole back of the of the phone.
I feel like LG's one was JBL as well.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But this has got stereo speakers, takes up the whole back. It's got a little stand built in.
Okay.
And it runs to about six times the normal volume.
Hmm.
Now, if you want to take along just sort of something for having a little bit of extra volume with you in for your phone, especially for playing music by the pool or whatever, this is absolutely unintrusive.
Okay.
That's very nice. It's about $160 for that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a projector add-on.
Ooh.
Now, Motorola, of course, as you know, are now part of Lenovo.
Yeah, which has done projectors
on their tablets.
Yep.
So now you can get a projector add-on for your phone.
I like this. I like where this is going.
I like it very much. And again, it is very elegant, very easy to use.
Smart.
The one that grabbed me most, and we saw this coming out of IFA in Germany a couple of months ago, was the Hasselblad camera add-on.
Also, it's got a much better camera on top.
Basically,
you can bolt on a better camera.
You can bolt on a camera with Hasselblad name. It's about $300, $400 for that.
Okay. Did you get to play with that?
I got to play with that, and I want to have this in my hands for a few weeks to have a serious play with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for $300, $400, I can now earn a camera that has the name Hasselblad on it, as opposed to the normal $5,000, $6,000 starting price for a Hassie.
So this is interesting, and I mean, just minus the accessories, is the phone itself somewhat spectacular? I mean, is there...
Well, what's that?
I think Dee got bored of our conversation.
I think she did.
Yes.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
She's trying to wind us
Dee,
up.
Dee, go and stand in the corner, please, if you're going to do that. Technology failure in the Gadget Grill. There you go.
I love it.
Starts playing all by itself.
Well, there you go. It's a Motorola, but it's not the Motorola we're talking about, and it got upset. That's what the problem is.
Must be.
We didn't get a chance to make phone calls or anything with it.
No,
of course. Because of these sort of things you play with the toys.
Yeah, but is it waterproof? Is it, I don't know, what's the big value thing for it?
The big value thing is that it's a reasonable size phone, it's a premium phone, and I want to have it in my hands to have a play with.
We must get one to test.
Indeed.
Good. Was there anything else from the event besides that?
That was it.
Good. Okay. So this week, Sony put their PlayStation VR on sale.
I saw.
$550. You can get the VR kit as long as you've got a PlayStation 4. You can start to play around 100 games at launch, which is pretty impressive. Different types of games, different versions of it, I guess. But, you know, you can plug in. You don't have to have the TV anymore, but the TV is good for people to see what you're seeing as you start to play the game. And it's interesting. They've all sold out. They've completely sold out in Australia already. There's a good chance that if you wanted one for Christmas, that you may not still get one. They may not get supplies in time.
Right.
EB Games, JB Hi-Fi, Big W, Target, all gone. Where can you find one now? eBay. Many, many people who bought them may have bought two, thinking that it was going to sell out as well, and you'll find them on eBay for twice the price.
Oh, no.
Oh, there you go.
So if you're really desperate for one, you can have one. Just cost you about $1,000.
But the interesting thing about this, of course, is the price of entry for the VR system that it is, $550, is not too bad.
It's not too bad, and apparently it's very, very good. I'm yet to play it, but I've heard very good things about it.
While we're talking about VR, of course, Microsoft on Wednesday did their HoloLens presentation.
Ah, how was it?
Apparently it was very good.
Okay.
I'm told the entry price, it's a dev kit.
Yeah.
Is around about five grand.
Wow.
So you want to be serious in terms of being a developer for this sort of thing.
I'm still trying to wonder who the HoloLens market's going to be. I mean, we can see with PlayStation, it's very clear angle. Gaming was their VR type of move on that. But HoloLens isn't quite VR. It's this augmented reality with overlaid glasses. I don't know where they're going with it. I think it's going to end up like Google Glass was, where businesses started to adopt it for different purposes, like the health industry may adopt it for surgical practices and stuff like that. I'm not sure.
Right.
We'll see.
Right. D, have you got something?
Well, it started playing before.
Oh, okay.
she has a musical piece to play for us.
It could be dangerous, you know what I mean? You never know what's going to happen.
Indeed.
I'm really hung up on the 3D printers. I think they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I found this story about the universe. And what's happened is astronomers have created a 3D model of space and it looks nothing like they expected, apparently. There are at least 2 trillion galaxies, so 10 times more than the scientists thought that there were, exist in our observable universe. And what they did was they got photos from the Hubble Space Telescope for about 20 years worth of images and made this universe. And it's just blown them out that there's so much more there than they really
thought. We may not be alone after all.
Yeah. And they looked back as well. And when they looked back in time, they saw that there were actually more universes back then than there are now. So they're depleting, but there's still so many out there.
That's bizarre, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's just amazing. Oh, I love the 3D
totally
stuff.
Crazy.
I love it.
Speaking of out of this world, Galaxy Note 7 is completely now out
of
this world.
It is totally dead, yes. Yeah,
oh. I mean, I feel like we've spoken about it every week for about a decade now, but this probably is the last time we'll speak of it because this week...
It no longer exists,
it was completely pulled. Yep. Production's gone. Airlines won't even let you bring it on.
I know.
So... Switched off, switched on. You can't even take it on a flight.
No, you can't blame them.
And interestingly, I saw airlines have added or going to be adding fire containment bags for overheating devices. So we used to have the vomit bag. We're now going to have an extra bag in your seat.
For your phone.
Well, not necessarily for phones, but for something that is catching fire.
Anything that can,
so it could
be a battery, probably.
It could be a tablet. It could be something else or an e-book reader. Who knows? Mm. But if anything starts to get hot and burst into flames, you'll now have a bag under your seat or in front of your seat. To
put it in.
Put it in and pass it to the stewardess and be like, can you please take my flaming phone away?
God.
Fantastic.
So that's it. Goodbye, Note 7. We hardly knew you.
That's unfortunate, but... Yeah.
Right, right. How about a sports car that runs on salt water?
I'll take it.
Lovely.
Actually, for you, that'd be great. You could run a hose straight into Bondi.
I know.
It'd be just fine.
I know. This is technology that is actually quite old.
Okay.
Because they developed this technology back in the 50s and 60s for the American space race.
Hmm.
But it was found to be too inefficient.
Okay.
But now they've got a breakthrough where they have water, salt water that is on one side alkaline and on the other side it's acidic.
Yeah.
And there's a membrane and they combine the two in the membrane.
Right.
And that is being used to power a car.
That's crazy.
I think that's wonderful.
Who's doing it?
This is a mob in Italy. They're at the Geneva Motor Show and it's called the Quant.
Hmm.
And it's using ionic liquid.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting. So let's watch for that one in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sooner the better.
Could work out really well for you. Hard for me to fill up. I'd have to drive to the beach every time.
I know.
Yeah.
Or you just...
just add salt to your water.
That's it, yeah. Just get some salt from your swimming pool.
Sea salt. Go and buy sea salt.
You don't have a swimming pool.
No, sorry, mate.
Well, now you've got a reason to get one.
Head down to the Windsor, to the Hawkesbury River.
Yeah, that'll work.
You've seen wind turbines, of course, for wind power generation.
I've seen. Yay. I've seen.
How about they're now doing something very similar to that for powering your mobile phone?
Like a little fan or something?
Well, not quite, because this is to use underwater.
Uh-huh.
And instead of having the turbine blades being driven by the wind, they're driven by the flow of water in a stream, in a current somewhere.
That makes sense.
They've done that a long time ago. And they did it in rivers.
But this is now a Kickstarter project.
Okay.
And it's going to be around about $150, which I think is a tad expensive for that.
Mm.
But it's very interesting technology.
Okay.
And they're talking about using it for other devices as well.
That's fascinating.
Isn't it?
Okay, well, makes my next news story feel a little useless after you bring up different forms of powering phones and things like that. But Christmas is coming around the corner, scarily quick.
Yeah.
And we know that people are buying more and more online to buy their gifts and things like that, but I didn't realize how big it was. Amazon is hiring 120,000 temporary workers for the holiday season. 120,000 people.
Yeah, well, people all over the world buy Amazon.
Just to handle their distribution of things. I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, I understand that there's shipping lines and things like that, but 120,000 people?
That's a lot.
That's a lot of jobs.
It is.
Trump would be so happy.
I know.
Assuming they're all based in America,
right? As long as they're not Mexican. Yes. Did I say that?
Yes, exactly. Now, Jeffrey, I know your wife drives a Mercedes.
She does.
Yes.
She's got a bit of class then.
She has.
Almost as much as me. Yeah.
No comment. And you know that autonomous cars are coming.
One day.
Okay. Yep. So that raises the question, with an autonomous car, if it sees an obstacle that it senses may be a person, what does the car do?
Well, this is the ethical question of self-driving cars.
It is an ethical question.
Yeah.
And the answer from Mercedes, apparently, is that we will run over the person, because if the choice is to kill one person, but we can absolutely save the life of one person, that person being the occupant of the vehicle, then we know that we're at least saving the life of one person. If the car decides it's going to run off the road, who knows what it's going to collide with and what the consequences of that collision will be.
That's a really good point.
With no guarantee that the obstacle that you're trying to avoid is going to have its life saved as well.
Especially, imagine if you're near a shopping mall
and
there's all these people in the shopping mall.
Mm.
And then your car decides it's going to avoid the person who's walking across the road, one person.
But plow down
then careers into 25 people in the shopping mall.
Well, I'm also thinking, say, for example, you're on a bridge. On a thin bridge, there's a bloke standing in the middle of the road. You can't stop in time. So the car decides, do I run off the bridge where you'll die or do I take down this guy on the road? I would want the car to have my best interests in mind and protect the driver, which Mercedes or any car manufacturer should be promoting, that our self-driving cars will take care of you first and then everybody else.
Below the pedestrians.
Well, that's a part of primary safety, isn't it?
Who bought the self-driving car? The driver. It should do everything it can to keep the driver alive.
Absolutely.
And the car. It's also protecting itself.
Absolutely.
That's a very interesting one. I've spoken about ethics in self-driving cars before in this show, but not in this angle. This is a fascinating one.
It is a fascinating aspect, isn't it?
I like it.
What do you got next?
Last one from me was this week there was called Dreamforce. It's a Salesforce.com event, and it's like the big annual geek out for businesses who are part of Salesforce. But what was interesting was we were waiting to hear from Salesforce whether or not they were interested in buying Twitter.
Right, yes.
They're not. That's the story.
Well, that was short and sweet.
Basically, it's been long rumored that Twitter's up for sale and that companies are looking to acquire Twitter at some point. Salesforce has been long held as one of the top three that would be considering to buy Twitter, but they made it very clear that while they looked at it, they did not decide to pursue it.
Right.
So not a viable business, I don't know.
Right.
Mm.
Okay, what have I got next? Oh, yes. This one is a fun story. A story turned up this week. Where did it turn up? It turned up at aboveaverage.com. Turned up yesterday. And an archaeologist has found that the first humans, you're going to love this, Jeff, The first humans used primitive Samsungs to start fires.
That's fantastic.
Isn't it lovely?
That is fantastic. Oh, I was reading actually in the break that Samsung's got all these Note 7s being recalled. They expect millions of phones to be coming back to them.
And they're going to trash them.
Well, they're going to trash them, and I was wondering how they're going to actually do it. I figured they'd just put them all together and turn them on and watch them all burn out instead.
Now, that would be one way of doing
it's
it,
the easiest
it?
Way to get rid of all of them.
Yeah, but having said that, Gary had one of those phones.
I know, crazy man.
And
risking his life.
Not a problem with it.
Well, lucky for him.
But we don't know that something might have happened. Mm. But apparently the problem is not in the battery, but it's in one of the voltage regulators.
Ah, it's a regulator issue, is it?
Apparently. That's what I'm led to believe, yes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I'm waiting for Samsung to kind of come out and wrap this one up and say, we now know why. And we know that it won't happen again.
Mm.
I'm waiting for that part to be said. It's just been, guys, turn them off. We don't know what's going on. Bring them back.
Well, that's pretty much what it has been.
Mm.
Okay, I think we should play some music.
Let's do that.
And what am I looking for? I'm looking for this particular thing here. Now, the other interesting news that happened on Friday, I woke up on Friday morning to some absolutely wonderful news for me.
Good.
A man, a musician, a poet.
Hang whom, on. Oh, I got this.
Whom I have...
Bob Dylan.
Yes. Whom I have long held in esteem. He's one of my musical influences.
Yep.
And...
That's why Gary doesn't sing.
That's right. but in all seriousness...
Mm. He got an award.
Not just an award. Mm-hmm. He is now a Nobel laureate.
What does that mean?
That means that he's received a Nobel Prize.
What does that mean?
It means that he's been awarded some money,
yep.
But he's been recognised by the Nobel Prize Committee as having made a very significant contribution into the field within which he specialises.
Okay, I'm with you now.
So I've decided that today we'll be playing a little bit of music by
Bobby
Dylan.
Yeah,
now,
good.
The other thing, of course, is how often can you say that you have stood very close, you know, sort of within a few metres of somebody who is a Nobel Prize winner?
I don't even know who the previous ones are.
Well, exactly. I have
Do you know?
Seen,
oh, I don't know anyone.
Oh, there's quite a few around.
I'm gonna Google them.
But I have been fortunate and privileged to have seen Bob Dylan perform several times during my life.
Mm.
And the man, forget the music, certainly forget his singing, but the words of the music that he wrote.
The lyrics.
The lyrics. Great tracks.
Absolutely. Mm. We're going to start with Rainy Day Women, numbers 12 and 35.
Thank you. they would. They stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you when you're walking on the street. They'll stone you when you're trying to keep your seat.
Be part of Radio 2RDJ? Radio 2RDJ is looking for announcers. If you're new to the game, we'll train you and give you all the help you need to get on air. If you would like to join the Radio 2RDJ crew, email us at info@radio2rdj.com or visit the website for more information. Radio 2RDJ, the community radio voice of the Inner West.
Definitely at home, so I know what they're up to.
Oh, my son had a sip of mine and he just hated it.
There are new national guidelines on alcohol. Research shows the earlier in life someone has their first drink, the more likely they are to have problems with alcohol later in life.
Kids will be kids, you know, partying, it's a stage.
Hopefully never. I don't drink myself, so I hope they don't either.
When it comes to under 18s first trying alcohol, delay. It's the safest way. Find out what the research recommends for your family at salvos.org.au/alcohol.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Thank you, Dee.
Pleasure.
During the week, I was very fortunate to conduct an interview with a gentleman who is the CEO of an organisation that has just won a major prize from Visa, the credit card company.
Mm.
Now, the gentleman's name is, and I hope I get the pronunciation right, Dmitry Selitsky.
Okay.
And it is from Thought Wired. Now, the prize that they won was a $50,000 prize.
It's a decent prize.
It's a decent prize.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're developing a system that allows for people who have got profound disabilities to use their thoughts to control computer system, to use their thoughts to interface with devices.
That's crazy.
Through a headband. And I thought that I would play that interview for you now.
Hi there, and on the Gadget Grill today, I am speaking with Dmitry from Thought Wired. Thought Wired have just won this year's The Everything Initiative competition, which is run by Visa Australia. Now, that awards a prize of $50,000 and the chance to pilot the winning idea with Visa. Dmitry, you're the CEO of Thought Wired, I believe?
Yes, that is correct.
And tell us a little bit about your idea, what you've done.
Yeah, absolutely. So at Thought Wired, we've been developing what we call NOUS, N-O-U-S, which is a system that allows people with severe disabilities to communicate and interact with the world using thoughts, or more accurately, brainwaves. So thought-controlled communication and interaction tools. And this is designed for people who are unable to move or speak because of profound physical disabilities.
This sounds like very exciting and very advanced technology, Dmitry. So how does it work? How do we get the thoughts of a person? How do we collect those thoughts and generate interaction with them?
So there's several steps in that process. So you start off with a device that goes onto a person's head. And so that's typically a headset or a headband, completely non-invasive, safe, probably safer or very likely safer than a pair of wireless headphones, because you can't damage your hearing with one of our headsets. And so in a headset like that goes onto a person's head, it has a number of electrodes that pick up the electrical activity of the brain, which our brains produce naturally as we function. And then that activity is picked up by the electrodes and sent wirelessly to a computer or a mobile device like a smartphone. And on those devices, the software that we built at ThoughtWired interprets that brain activity and turns it into a variety of useful functions, whether it is picking from yes and no on the screen or multiple choices for conversations or interactions, and to then moving on to more sophisticated things. But the thing that I have to stress, you know, early on in this description is that we aren't actually interpreting individual thoughts, like when you think that you want a piece of cake or you're imagining a black cat running across the street. We aren't interpreting those very specific, minute things and then, you know, displaying them on the screen, something like that. It's a little bit more of teaching people how to use the patterns of their brain activity to perform actions. So it's not, you know, thought through a word or a letter, but rather teaching a person just one or two commands, sort of mental commands or mental triggers that they can use to then achieve the outcomes that they're after.
So basically they have to learn how to generate the thought patterns for yes, no, one, two, three, that sort of a thing.
It's even more sort of generalized and robust. So I'll give you an analogy. You use a mouse with your computer, and a mouse typically has one or two buttons.
Yes.
But with that mouse, depending on the context in which you are using the mouse, you can do millions of different things.
Right.
Okay? And so our approach is very similar to that. You learn just a couple of mental commands that effectively become buttons on this, you know, virtual mouse that you're using. And then depending on what context you're using those mental commands in, you can either choose between yes or a no using the same commands, or then you can use those same commands to drive a little remote controlled robot, you know, in a physical space, or choose between the songs that you want to listen to, or choose between the letters of the alphabet, or the words, or, you know, or sentences that you want to speak out, and so on and so forth. So it's really just learning one or a few simple commands that then can be reused in all of these different contexts to achieve pretty much anything you like.
Okay, that's very interesting. And it raises a question for me, though. You said that you brought up the example of using a mouse. Now, a mouse, by its very nature, is a device that we move around on one surface, and we see the representation of that movement on that surface appear on the screen as the cursor being moved, say, from the top left-hand corner of the screen to the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, as an example. How do you emulate the movement of the mouse cursor to a particular position on the screen using thought commands? That sounds like a very interesting challenge.
It is indeed, and the practical approach is to actually, if you are interacting with a computer, to remove a mouse completely, because it requires that, you know, it's actually a difficult task for any human being to learn how to use a mouse, you know, for the very first time. So, in practical terms, it's actually easier to remove the mouse out of the question completely and come up with a brand new interface, which is specifically designed to be effectively used with mental commands or other alternative methods of interaction. And so we spend a lot of our time at ThoughtWired developing such interfaces that can be easily navigated with just a handful of commands, or if you thought of it in a traditional sense, if we, let's say, removed your mouse and removed most of the keys on your keyboard and left you with two buttons, for example, and then had you navigate these systems. So it's not just about interpreting brain activity, but it's actually also about coming up with these new interfaces that are easy to use in these new ways.
Now, that is very interesting, because my immediate thought when you said removing the mouse interface is that we go to the traditional alternative of the mouse, which is to use the tab key on the keyboard. But you've also now taken the keyboard out of the equation, and you've just left me with two buttons on there. This is very, very fascinating.
Well, it's, a process of simplification, really, to make such an interface work. Just because, at least at this point in time, it is virtually impossible to interpret thoughts down to, you know, the level of detail that we actually have in our heads, you know, of thinking of very specific concepts and then translating them. Even if you use the most sophisticated equipment, you know, somewhere in the lab and very powerful computers, even then it is still very difficult. And it becomes 1,000 or 1,000,000 times more difficult when you take it out of the lab and bring it into a living room. But that said, with the right approach, and we believe we have that right approach, we can simplify the way you interact with technology and with the world through technology, so we can use, you know, these simpler patterns of brain activity and simpler ways of interacting with computers to allow people to communicate and interact with many different things using their brainwaves.
Congratulations on your award, Dimitri. It is, the work that you're doing is absolutely fascinating, and I'm looking forward to seeing this even as a prototype, because my mind is, I'm just sitting here and my mind is just blown away by what we've been talking about, and then the concept of this as a means of helping those people with really profound disabilities being able to become just that little bit more self-sufficient. And the sort of good that that does for society is just beyond description.
Oh, well, absolutely. And that's really the motivation that, you know, drives our organization and our team.
Thank you very much for taking a few minutes out of your day, Dimitri, to speak with us here on the Gadget Grill. We do appreciate your input.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
What do you think about that?
Amazing. It's amazing
stuff. Isn't it? Down to two buttons.
That's creepy.
One of the things that I asked him about, but we just didn't have time to cover that in the in what I played, was, of course, how do the sensors work? And it's similar technology to when you have an ECG. They put the sensors on your body.
Yeah.
And one of the problems I have when I have an ECG, of course, is that of hair getting in the way and preventing it from attaching.
So they would have the same problem with head hair, wouldn't
Absolutely
they?
Correct. Mm. So what he told me they did was that for the headband, they gather all the sensors around the front of the head.
Makes sense.
Which allows them to gets impulses from the front of the head, but it means that it restricts them in terms of what they're able to get, because they can't get impulses from other parts. That's for true. Exactly that reason.
Yeah, one day they'll probably have them built in.
Just plug, like it, implants. Plug it into your
Absolutely.
Ear.
There'll be implants. And you just click them on. You know?
Absolutely magnificent stuff. Mm. Cole Chisel here with the Dylan song, Knockin' on Heaven's Door.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
And welcome back again to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. We are already out of time. Can you believe that?
Time flies.
You're having fun. Yeah.
I know. I can't believe how quickly this show has gone today. We've actually had to chop out one segment.
I know.
Such is life.
We'll do it next week.
We will do it all again next week, and hopefully we'll have time to actually do some talking about stuff. Who knows? We may even have some new toys. Actually, I've got a couple of things that I do need to review.
Good.
That I have reviewed that I haven't had a chance to talk about because we've just had so much other stuff to talk about during our shows.
Yeah.
You have been listening to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM. 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. We cook up this show with love and affection and a lot of technology and a lot of other stuff too, because I take a much broader range of what gadgets are than what you do, Jeffrey.
Well, we spoke about pens today.
We spoke about pens.
I mean, we did everything.
But I think pens are gadgets. I think almost everything that we... Yes, I think almost everything that we use today in some way is a gadget.
Yeah.
Whether it's a car, whatever.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be computer.
Doesn't have to be technology. Technology is just one realm of gadgets.
It's all part of it.
But I have a much broader remit. I'm the Professor, Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Debbie Cup.
I'm GG Cup.
And we will... you can listen to the show again on Tuesday, and we'll be back next Sunday night with more Gadget Grill. Take care, Australia. This is the Australian, or partly Australian band, Sky, and the track is awesome. The band was awesome. This is Hotter.
Bye-bye.
Bye.